you're saying the State Department doesn't see social networking technologies as an additional tool in their toolbox. They see Web 2.0 as disruptive force in diplomacy. Now, you spoke to Jared Cohen. He works in the State Department's policy and planning staff. He says the department must understand how their technologies work and how best to use them to meet their mission of development and diplomacy. Well, Jason Cohen says these social networking tools are disruptive. What does he mean by that?
Well, if you look at the technology that has really impacted how we as a community, as an earth, if you will, communicate over the last, 500, 600, 700 years, really everyone points to the printing press. You know, that 1440 when it was invented, that's the first big change. Then you had radio, then you had TV, but all of them required an intermediary, you know, a radio station, someone to run the printing press, a TV station, someone to come up with the programming. But with technology and the internet, the intermediary is much less of a burden. And when you look at the world has something like 70 to 80% of the world has a cell phone.
The platforms themselves, once created, become the intermediary rather than just the people. And so states, while they can influence by blocking or censoring, they can't fully control unless they're North Korea and never let it in the first place. And so what we're witnessing here is a set of technologies that connect people to information, i.e. new media, that connect people to each other and entities, i.e. social media, and then a whole new element of this, which is technologies that connect people to actual resources, be they financial like mobile banking, judicial like telejustice, education like distance learning, medicine or health like telemedicines. So technology has not only become a tool with greater utility as a means for empowerment, but it's also the technologies that we see today are really the finest example in history of tools of empowerment that don't require an intermediary.
Now, Cohen offered several examples of this. You know, if you remember from June 2009, the protests in Iran, a lot of that was followed through Twitter. Negotiations between countries where representatives can communicate back to their home country or to others in government immediately to get answers to problems through BlackBerries and other PDA-type devices. And, in fact, in Haiti, after the the massive earthquake back in January, Cohen says one of the first repairs was to the telecom infrastructure because the government of Haiti, the NGOs, the other government organizations who were there to help needed that cell phone internet communications really to work more effectively.
All right, so how are these tools changing the way the state itself approaches the mission? You've got several examples of how this is impacting the State Department, starting with the recognition that these tools are having. So what's ahead there?
So there's several examples of how this is impacting states, starting with the recognition that Cohen calls all this the change that's happening. Now, it's interesting. He calls himself a techno-pragmatist, and he explains what this means.
To me, a techno-pragmatist accepts the fundamental reality that this isn't DARPA creating the internet. The reality is that whether we like it or not, from a policy standpoint, Microsoft, Google, Cisco, Oracle, Facebook, you know, all these different companies are putting these tools out on the public domain. That's just the nature of commerce and 21st century market. And so from a government standpoint, we have two options. We can fear that we can't control it and thus not try to influence it. And by the way, if we don't try to influence it, all that does is give greater space and greater room to hostile actors who seek to use technology for nefarious purposes. Or we can recognize that the 21st century is a terrible time to be a control freak, recognize that we can't control it, but we can influence it, and there's no better time to influence it than when access is where it is today versus, say, when cell phone penetration is 80% or 85% or internet penetration is 60% or 70%, because, you know, we can actually be involved in bringing access under the auspices of education and health and very substantive activities.
Now, along those same lines, Cohen says state must improve its craft because, in the most simple terms, diplomacy is about connections and negotiations, and the technology makes all of that easier. The other change that is happening is really around the partnerships. And then they're moving from, in many ways, a one-way partnership to a more broader two-way discussion, where one time it's, the State Department talking to non-government organizations, and it was really, here's the money, go do it. Report back to us. Now, through technology, the non-government organizations, the private sector companies, the roles really that they're playing in diplomacy is growing quite a bit. In fact, Cohen describes one upcoming change to the way state represents where NGOs are working in one specific country.
What we're trying to do is build out a sort of mapped and cohered platform for Kenya where you can literally click on a map of Kenya or click on specific provinces and figure out who's doing what and have that be something that serves both the State Department as well as just the open public. And so it's interesting. I mean, it's a pretty difficult thing to do. I've actually had conversations with a variety of private sector companies that would love to be able to do this for their own purposes. So it's actually interesting to watch the conversations play out between government and private sector on how we're actually exploring this in Kenya.
All right. So what can other agencies learn from states' experience in all this Web 2.0 stuff?
Now, he says state, like many agencies, can't really shy away from these technologies. They have to do a better job of understanding how they work, why they work. And in fact, Cohen makes a really interesting historical comparison to drive this point home.
During the Cold War, we said the very same thing about the cassette tape. Remember Walkmans with cassette tapes? We didn't want to support the cassette tape or even take advantage of this technology or go anywhere near it because we feared that embracing the utility of this technology as something with a net positive, even though there were certain costs to it, wasn't worth the risk. And so failing to appreciate the fact that this was a private sector company or a collection of private sector companies innovating Walkmans and cassette tapes, we backed away. And not only did the Soviets use cassette tapes to propagate the communist ideology that we so feared throughout Central Asia and elsewhere, but unanticipated consequences. Had it not been for the cassette tape, it's very unlikely that Ayatollah Khomeini from his villa in France would have been able to achieve the kind of notoriety that allowed him to come back to such fanfare in Iran in February of 1979. So that's a very important historic case study. So these technologies are out there. Again, what I said at the beginning is they're shaking things up in ways that are good and bad. And from a foreign policy standpoint, there is no better time or no better opportunity than engage now when this generation gap exists, when the innovation gap that I mentioned exists before, where there's a high amount of energy on the part of the private sector, even wanting to understand how its technologies can be utilized or are being utilized. And so we're in this unique moment of time where we have maybe 5 to 7 to 10 years to really embrace this space.
And while Cohen focuses on the State Department's mission, I think what he's trying to say is a broader point. You can't ignore these technologies because they're not going away. You got to figure out how to work with them and how to make your programs realize the benefits of Web 2.0 and see these tools as an opportunity, just like having a phone or computer on every desk was decades ago. Now, State also is doing a quadrennial review, similar to what DOD and the Homeland Security Department does, where they're focused on, okay, how is diplomacy changing? And this technology piece is a huge part of that review.
So how is State making sure they have the right people to use these technologies and apply them in the best possible way?
So the agencies rely on people who use the technology most, you know, the under 30 crowd. Unfortunately, Tom, it doesn't include us anymore.
Long time since that was part of it, yeah.
I'm feeling that way, too. But State has actually established an internship program where college students or other young people work from home under what they call the Virtual Foreign Service Internship Program. Cohen talked about a student in the Midwest who's a virtual foreign service officer for the Baghdad Embassy when it comes to using these specific social networking tools. You know, Cohen points out that 60% of the population on Earth is under 30 years old. They're fickle, and they're technology natives. So who better to understand how to make the impact with these tools than those who are using them? And obviously, this is, you know, the State Department sees it time and again, all the changes that are happening, and they feel like if they're not on board and not just accepting it, but really understanding it, they're really going to be behind.
Well, it's pretty fascinating stuff because you also tend to think about things like Voice of America, which uses traditional broadcast methods, but I think they're getting into new media as well. I wonder when we're going to stop calling this new media and just calling it media.
I think that's a wonderful point.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks very much for that thorough report. Now, by the way, Jared Cohen, didn't he join the administration at the advent of the Obama administration? I think he used to be with the AFL-CIO, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, it's interesting. He mentioned that he's been with the State Department for almost four and a half years. So he actually came in under the Bush administration. And he's an author. He has written a couple books. He's one of those, you know, one of those just really smart people in government that are really, you can tell, making a difference. And when you listen to him speak, the excitement around these tools really came across to the audience. And I think people walked away feeling, you know, just ready to use them.
Ready to go. Well, I was corrected. I thought it was, I must be thinking of another Jared Cohen. Anyway, Jason, thanks very much. And we'll see you around the ranch.
All right. Thanks, Tom.